Hello Heartlands, my name is Raynell Francis Manu and I would like to welcome you to the Sounds of Heartlands podcast. I'll be your host, guiding you through experiences and conversations with our Heartlands family, so you can not only hear their stories but also life insights with us too. And today's guest is Mr. Sidhu. Welcome.
Hello Raynell, nice to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me, this is definite honour.
Yeah, I agree. So, we're going to start off with asking you your role at Heartlands High School.
Okay, so my role's, well, mainly cover teacher at Heartlands High School. I have worked in a few departments, so I've worked in business studies and social sciences. Mm-hmm. I've worked over in maths a little bit as well, obviously, because that's my main subject. And right now, currently working with the science department, so I've done a little bit of science as well.
Science.
So every department, that's why I get to see so much of you guys, and I get to see probably all of you around the school as well, not just one side of the year. So it's definitely had a lot of opportunities to speak to a lot of you guys at Heartlands.
Yeah, I think so, and that's part of the reason why I chose you, because I know that you have like a different range of year groups that you know. So I think it was like everybody would know you.
Yeah, no, like I said, I really appreciate it. I caught your first episode with Miss Thomas. Obviously, you had to get Mr. Thomas on. Yeah, 100%.
So today's podcast is titled Making Peace with Not Being the Best. And to start off, I just wanted to ask some questions about you.
Okay, sure.
So where did you grow up and how did that shape who you are today?
Okay, so grew up in Ilford, East London.
Mm-hmm.
So I was born there, raised there, lived there my whole life.
Okay.
Like any sort of London area, obviously there's your sort of nicer parts and your not so nicer parts.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think, you know, as everyone, you know, living in London will know, it always comes with sort of times where it, you know, things are a little bit difficult, things are a little bit sort of scary, especially sort of, I've noticed like the late sort of 2000s, like growing up for me early on sort of in London, you know, early 2000s, it was actually really nice. You know, we played out a lot, we went to the park a lot, you know, two bikes and a football, that's all we need, you know, typical thing. Mum's yelling at you, come home now, and we're all just there like, five more minutes, and then...
Coming in soon.
That's it, I'll be there in a bit. And we didn't even have phones either, so we could kind of get away with it, but... Yeah, and then eventually, sort of, growing up in London, obviously got a little bit sort of, you know, a little bit, I want to say sort of more dangerous, but, you know, like I said, London was a busy city, comes its problems, and I think from there... Well, obviously, being a teacher is a great opportunity to kind of sort of talk to you kids growing up in the same area that we grew up in and sort of, you know, give you guys that advice. But no, it definitely, in terms of shaping who I am as a person, it definitely did, because you have to make a lot of the right choices, even though it's very easy to make the wrong ones growing up in a place like London. I mean, you know as well, you live here.
Yeah.
Like, you walk around the area, you see what it's like.
Yeah.
But you obviously make the conscious decision to put positive out into the world. And that's difficult.
Yeah.
It really is.
Like, you get to witness it firsthand and see
London
for what it really is, but it's also got a lot of positives.
100%, definitely. And opportunities.
I mean, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many opportunities. So in terms of getting to know you, we do a round called Quick Fire Favourites.
Cool.
And so it's literally just an answer really quick.
Okay, cool.
So, favourite subject?
Maths.
Favourite book?
Ooh, Let Them Theory.
Ooh. Favourite film?
Shawshank Redemption.
Favourite country?
America, New York.
Favourite break time snack?
Flapjack.
Okay. Favourite hobby outside of school?
Golf.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Play golf?
Yeah, well, a little bit of driving range, a little bit of this, getting into it. I figured I'm going to get there eventually, so might as well get a head start on it, right?
Favourite school event?
Ooh, it's got to be... either the culture day, because I love the energy around the school, or I think inset days, like where the staff just come in and we get to sort of plan and prep and...
That's not an event.
Do you know why I say that though? Because it's like the one time where actually all of us are kind of a little bit like...
Laid back.
Yeah, not even laid back, but like you have different conversations on those kind of days. And, you know, obviously... food in the school is really nice and stuff like that as well. Yeah, listen, don't worry, the school look after us, they definitely do.
Okay, and favourite fun fact that people wouldn't know about you?
Fun fact? I don't think anyone wants to know this about me, but outside of school, I'm a private tutor.
Oh, I knew that.
It's a fun fact.
I mean...
I'll give you one you didn't know. I'm a qualified basketball referee.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
something I did in school, and yes, I still have the qualification for it. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so another question. As you know, seems like I like questions. But
this is what we're here. Yeah.
What's the best thing about Heartlands?
Do you know what? I'm gonna sound like I'm copying and pasting here, but mm-hmm. I completely agree with Mr. Thomas. It's you guys. 100%, 100%. The interactions, like, there'll be days where, you know, you wake up mm-hmm. and it's not you know, it's grey outside, it's miserable, and, you know, just like you guys, we will probably be in that frame of mind of, oh, do you know what? I could leave it today, I could give it a miss today, or. Mm-hmm. But coming into school and then speaking to you lot, the, you know, just even the passing by in the corridor, like when I come in, every student says good morning.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's such a nice interaction to have, and it's just to see how polite it is, see how everyone enjoys mm-hmm. the school. You know, let's not lie, there is times where, okay, oh my God, period five, oh, let's,
yeah.
well, we're in a rush, oh, we need to go, and, you know, everyone is in that frame of mind. Yeah. But no matter what, there's, you know, there's year sevens right now, science club, dissection club,
yeah.
or when's this happening? Like, there's a real community feel here, and I can be very honest, working at quite a few schools, like, this is the one place where actually students love to be here. You know,
yeah.
drama's going on, this is going on, there's such a energy sort of after school
excitement.
That happens as well.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And you look at Culture Day, for example, wow. Like,
yeah, everybody showed up for Culture Day.
Oh, this year, 100%. Like, there is this real sort of, like, stigma about, like, oh, like, people forget their culture. But coming here and, like, seeing you guys, like, you guys are really in touch with
yeah.
the culture. Even the amount of EAL students you've got, like, the amount of students that can speak their home language
yeah.
is so impressive, because you never want to lose that part of your identity, right?
And I think a lot of parents love to incorporate it into the home as well.
Definitely.
So I think that's a really big factor, and it helps a lot.
Yeah, keep in touch with your culture.
Yeah.
Because again, it's all those different cultures that make up Heartlands. So why would you want to lose the thing that makes Heartlands,
yeah.
Yeah.
So true. So if you can invite one person, dead or alive, to have school dinner with you at Heartlands, who would it be?
Heartlands. Ooh.
And why?
Famous, not famous, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I'd probably say
mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan.
Ooh, okay.
So I had a real passion for basketball just growing up. It was just something that I've always done. But then if you've ever seen the documentary The Last Dance?
No.
No? Okay, so it's basically about his kind of NBA run, his career, and his overall life.
Okay.
But it's like, as sort of, in terms of when I speak to you guys, I speak about motivation a lot, we speak about
yeah.
working, discipline.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone who I think really, really embodies that. Like, when, you know, if you watch the documentary, he always
mm-hmm.
says, like, when I'm on the court, all that matters is right there and then. Like,
yeah.
I don't care about, you know, all the celebrity stuff, all the this, all the that. All I care about is the next bucket. Can I play to the best of my ability? Do
yeah.
And I'm like, the mindset there
mm-hmm.
is just, you know, it's amazing. And obviously, there's loads of athletes you can take at that kind of example.
Yeah.
But he's someone through that sport and watching that documentary, I was like, wow, do you know what? I'd love to sit down and just pick your brain.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think sports has a good incorporation into people's lives.
Definitely.
Like, it allows them to be very encouraged and supportive. So I definitely agree with
and
that.
Discipline.
Yeah.
I think, like, and this is the one example I always use, it makes me feel really guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning, at the end of the week, I'm exhausted. I drive in my nice warm car, I rock up to the school car park,
yeah.
and there's year eights and nines just coming back from running club, and I'm like, I do have a bit of a look at myself, and I go, oh, Mr. City, look at them, look at what are you, you've sat in your car, you've eaten your flapjack, and, like, you look at these kids, like, outside running around. So again, like, just the discipline is really nice to see, and Heartlands offers that opportunity, so it's really nice to
definitely.
See.
Definitely. I think the PE department, big well done to them.
Yes,
100%. Because they definitely show up
yeah.
throughout the
into form, etc.
Yeah.
Like, always running events, so no, you have to give them their
sports day.
Yeah, definitely. So you have to give PE department their flowers, definitely.
Definitely. So when you was younger, how did you define success?
Ooh, okay, so that's a really, really broad
yeah.
question. I think you always get the kind of narrative of success, I think, at first from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think
yeah.
growing up in the generation that I grew up in, it was study,
okay.
study, get to A-levels, study,
mm-hmm.
get to degree,
mm-hmm.
use your degree, get a good job, get your mortgage, pay it off. So that's, we've always had, I'd almost say,
a structure.
Yeah,
mm.
a sort of a very disciplined structure in terms of, okay, achieve this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for us, it was making sure that we're set up, comfortable, good job, earning, and just
yeah.
making life comfortable for ourselves. Especially, obviously, not being you know, from the UK in terms of my parents, mm-hmm. were not born and bred. Obviously, they've come over here, like many of our parents, yeah. and even some of the students in school who have, you know, come to a new country. It's just, can we make the most of it?
Yeah. Okay. So, did you ever feel like you needed to stand out to feel accomplished?
Definitely. I think growing up as well, especially mm-hmm. in a school-based environment, you do kind of go along with the whole, oh, I need to get up, you know, the best result. I need to, you know, do whatever it is. I need to achieve the best score or get the highest grade, etc. So I think that really does happen through those years where, let's be honest, your achievement is mm-hmm. basically numerical. You know, you get a grade, you get a percentage. You know, you guys have just done your mocks.
Yeah.
So the thing you're waiting for, even though it should be, oh, what did I get wrong? Let me improve it for the summer. Mm-hmm. Your guys' measurement is, what did I get?
Mm.
What did I achieve? What grade did I get?
Yeah. So do you feel like that works?
I mean, it does to a certain extent. Mm. Because at the end of the day, you know, life is very competitive. Like, when you go out into the world, you are competing with all the people who are, you know, wanting to do what you're wanting to do.
Have the same degrees.
Have the same degrees, mm-hmm. or, you know, even in the same field. Like, even this, like a podcast, everyone sort of, you know, would like their stuff to go viral, do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But it's a very, like, comparative metric. Like, it's always based on someone else, or someone else is like, oh, they've done this, so I have to do this. It's,
okay.
Eventually it loses its kind of purpose. Like, you go from, oh, I want to achieve this thing, to, I just want to beat this person at this thing. Which, don't get me wrong, competition is a great incentive,
mm-hmm.
but when it becomes your whole sort of
aspiration,
mm-hmm. then you're really like, that's when the problems ensue, because all of a sudden you go from, I want to achieve this, to, I want to beat this person. But what about when you beat that person? Then what?
What happens then? Mm-hmm.
Then
it's true.
You look for the next thing, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay,
the next
that
person.
One. Yeah, but then after a while, you're like, where's the satisfaction? When are you going to stop, look and go, do you know what? Actually,
mm-hmm.
well done.
Yeah.
And this is what, like, in terms of Heartlands, where we say, like, celebrate success.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people take a minute to step back and go, look what I've achieved so far. I mean, Renelle, take yourself. Like, from having you RS last year to this year, where you've come, like, you, I mean, you tell me, like, how have you seen your own sort of, personality grow and your whole persona grow from last year to this year? Because you're embodying it.
I mean, in terms of my personality and just life in general, I could definitely say that there's been moments where I've been like, well, if I look back to where I was a few weeks ago, if I look back to where I was a few months ago, I can definitely say that I've improved. But I think a lot of that has to do with my environment and also changing my mindset and looking at myself and saying, well, right now, we have to do better. And obviously there's moments where I do get frustrated still, and I do wanna, as us young people would say, bug out.
Yeah, crash out, yeah.
I think it just comes with respect and understanding the people that you're talking to. Because I think I've, over the last few months, I've built good relationships with a lot of members of staff, which has made me be able to come to a more common understanding, where I'm able to communicate better than I would.
And then
before.
You realise we're playing for the same team, right? Like, because it very much does feel like early on in the years, the teacher's just here to make me do this, make me do that. But then after a while you realise, okay, they're here to do what exactly? What, to make my life better?
Yeah.
Like, ultimately that is the goal, isn't it? Like, we're not here just to get, okay, good grades are fine and all that, but ultimately so you guys can become successful.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to understand the teacher for who they are and not just for the role that they're playing.
Oh, Renelle, if you could put a quotation on that, write it somewhere. No, do you know why I say it? Because there's so many, and obviously I've only been here for a few years, but once every single week or every so often, I speak to someone, I learn something about them, and I'm like, I would never have guessed that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, can you tell me about this? Like, because I've never done this role, I've never been in this job, or, you know, there's teachers who have done, like, done jobs that you guys are striving towards.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how are you not sat down with that teacher and, you know, please give me the knowledge?
Even you've told me that before, you're like, did you know that this teacher did this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, did they?
Yeah.
Even just, for example, Miss Ingle just now.
Yes.
About the
we just learned
Ibrahim doing jumping.
And
then she said, yeah. Oh.
as an ex-drummer.
I was an ex-drummer. I was like...
We'd never have done that. But never. If you weren't in this environment after school when Mrs. got to, we never would have learned that.
Never.
So it's like you said, it's taking, not just taking teachers as the role, looking at, like, you know, actually speak to your teachers.
Yeah.
Find out about them.
Who they are.
Because I bet you there's something that you would find so interesting that you'd probably want to have a conversation with.
Yeah.
And your relationship improves. And then before you know it, you're in class and then you're like, oh wow, like, you know, you understand Mrs. or Sir's viewpoint now. You're like, this is coming from a person
who's...
It makes
sense.
Yeah. You're not just like, oh, it's not just, she's not just teaching me this, or he's not just teaching me this because they have to. It's, they've been out into the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm about to go out into the world as a student.
And understanding that they had this process too.
Yes. Yeah. I think, do you know what's one of the funniest things? I think most students forget, we were young kids as well. Yeah. I think having Mr. Thomas on last week was a real... good one as well, because he went to Heartland.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, obviously, you know, people do look to Sir a lot, and that's really good. And like every member of staff is like that. Every staff was, you know, at some point I want to say a moody teenager. So like I said, it's everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah.
And obviously we come here and we give you guys the advice, but it's because we've been out into the world.
You've done it, you've lived it.
Yeah. Exactly. And any advice we give you is ultimately just for the betterment of you guys.
So, speaking on life and society, why do you think society always puts so much pressure on trying to be the top performer, trying to be the best, as you were saying at the start, and just having this expectation that if you're not meeting the best, then you're not the best, or you're not good enough?
I think it's meant to be as a motivation. The concept of getting to the top is meant to be a motivating factor.
Yeah.
I think the problem arises when all of a sudden it goes from being your motivation to do something to your whole mindset.
Yeah.
Because then, like we said, the minute it becomes... Because at the moment, let's say, for example, my goal was to become the best basketballer. Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's stick with that thing. I could get there, and I could definitely... Let's say I beat the LeBrons, I beat the whoever's.
Yeah.
But then eventually I'm going to get a bit older. Eventually there's going to become a new
someone
generation.
Better than you.
That's
yeah.
like someone's going to... Even if, you know... they aren't better than me, time will, you know, quickly sort of take a hold, and then I'm not going to be the best anymore. So I think making that your whole mindset is the wrong thing, but using it as a motivating factor, definitely. And I think it's also because, if I'm honest, society is competitive. It is, because when you guys go off now, you, as we said, you're competing with other sit formers for places, and then when you're in sit form, you're competing with other people for the university places.
Yeah.
So it is a big factor in terms of, okay, making sure that I'm the next, like, you know, above and above. But I think a lot of people make it their whole mindset.
Yeah.
Because we talk a lot about motivation, yeah? Like, you look online, motivational quotes, motivational goals. Like, how many TikTok pages have you seen with, like, a background voice and there's, like, a picture of a tiger and it says a motivating quote?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you feel it. And that's great. Like,
or send this to your best friend.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's meant to be a motivating factor. It's meant to be something to pick you up and go. But where a lot of people, I think, go wrong is they look at that and then they say, okay, I need to beat that person.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't need to beat that person. You need to just forget about this whole concept of motivation. Yeah, motivation is fine. Having the motivation to be the best, that's fine. But it's having the discipline to actually go and achieve that goal.
And to allow that person to actually inspire you and say, okay, if they can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah, let's rephrase it. Let's say, instead of I want to beat that person, I want to talk to that person, find out what it is they had to do to get there. I want to, you know, effectively copy that, or, you know, my own version of that. So I think using competition as a motivation is good until you become obsessed with simply winning. Because then you will never be happy, because there'll always be the next win or the next goal. It's like I say about for example gym. You might have a goal to get to a certain body type, or you know, lift a certain weight. Then when you get there, then what? You look to the next thing, you look to the next thing. So winning will, you know, or the competition to be the best will only ever get you a certain amount of satisfaction. You're never going to feel fully happy living by someone else's metric. If my goal is to always be you, or always be better than you, then I'm not living my own life. I'm living my life trying to be you.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Then you're not going to be happy yourself, because you're not living your own life. You're living it by someone else's metric. And there's no other Renelles in the world. So why would you live by anyone else's metric? There's no other Miss Ingalls in the world. So why would Miss hold herself to anyone else's metric?
It's true. And I think it also comes under the fact of the quote that says, be the best version of you.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. There's a reason why that quote looks like that. It's because it's there is only one use. Mm-hmm. All you can do is be the best version of that. No one else can do that. Yes, there are tangible little things, mm-hmm. be the best, you know, drummer, musician, whatever, but at the same time, no one's got your personality. No one, mm-hmm. you know, even understands your hardships. Like, okay, you're all here in the classroom, but when you guys go home, you've all got your own individual mm-hmm. battles. Every single one of you has your own individual battles. It could be something as simple as, I don't have, you know, I can't sit down and study. That's a battle mm-hmm. that, you know, year 11s have got to overcome. You know, I need to sit down and really sort of graft, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, the year 7s, you know, their troubles might be, oh my God, I've got piles and piles of homework. Everyone's mm-hmm. got their own metric. Got their own,
yeah.
100%.
I agree, definitely. Just to bring in a little science fact, is everybody has their own DNA. So there's only one you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biologically, there is. Even twins. Mm-hmm. Even twins, that's it. They don't exactly have everything the same. So there's always little differences. So live your life by your own metric.
I agree. 100%. Yeah. So in terms of just talking about trying to be the top performer, trying to always show up, how do you, like, what advice would you give to someone that is listening on actually just respecting their own pace and their own way they actually go about things instead of rushing to impress, whether that's teachers, students, parents, just like focusing on who you are and reaching your own expectations?
I think in terms of that, it's sitting down, and I think sometimes, and I'll be very honest, like when I was in my 20s, I can be very honest and say I didn't live my life like this. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. Mm-hmm. And I know for a lot of teachers, like, you know, I'm only, you know, in my 30s now, but for a lot of teachers that look and they'll say, oh, that's really young, but the change in mindset is so big. I found in those years, going from the early stage of my life to the later, because it was very much where I'm surrounded by, you know, friends constantly, like, you know, going to university, friends, you know, going after university, chilling with friends, etc. It's kind of, you do sort of go about your life and you kind of base everything on, you know, what everyone else sort of does and thinks of you, etc. So what was your actual question again?
The question is basically, how do people learn to respect their own pace rather than rushing to impress?
Oh yeah, so again, it's like we said, remembering kind of who you are as an individual, mm-hmm. remembering the fact that there is only one you, and mm-hmm. the goal that you want to achieve, no one else wants to achieve. Even if it's the same job, it doesn't mean you want to achieve it the same way. It doesn't mean you want to go about it the same way. It doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily take the same path. Mm-hmm. It's just that you need to make sure that when you sit down, you know, at the end of the day, you look mm-hmm. back at your own journey mm-hmm. and remember that no one else has done that.
Literally.
You sitting here now, Renelle, no one else has done that journey. Mm. So you should be proud of that because you've got here. There's so many, I'm sure, times where you could have made the wrong choice. And you know, you could continue to do that.
Mm.
But constantly making that right choice, you are the only person who has made those groups of decisions in your life.
Yeah.
Every decision leads to where you are now, and no one else has made it in the order that you've made it, the way you've made it, or in the same, you know, sort of lifestyle as you.
Yeah.
So it's your own metric.
And I think that comes on the importance of self-reflection.
Yes.
And actually looking back over your own life and saying, okay, this is where I'm at now, this is where I was. And I think it was coming into the question that you asked me before.
Mm.
And just like sitting down with yourself and understanding that, okay, if I was here then I can reach here now. And if people in my lessons are getting higher marks than I am, that's okay because they're not me. And actually knowing, this is how I revise, this is how I do this, this is how I do that. And that's okay for me, it works for me. So even though I may be talking to my friend, maybe talking to my mum, maybe talking to my dad, and they're saying it this way, but I'm actually me, so I understand how I work.
Exactly. It's like I always use, well, obviously I'm going to use maths as an example. There's never one way to do a question.
Mm.
Like the amount of times I've gone along and I've seen someone else's, I've seen a student's work, and it's just nothing like I would have done.
Mm.
But you look at the mindset and the way they thought, and you're like, wow, look at that. You thought your way around it, and you come to it your own way. Like a journey in life is no different. It's going about things your own way. And along the way, you know, teachers will teach you things, people will teach you things, but ultimately you're still going to make your own decisions.
Mm.
So like you said, having that moment of self-reflection, going, wow, do you know what? I got here.
Mm.
Like I did this, I set this up, or I've done this thing. But that's a personal goal you set yourself. It can't be compared to anyone else because no one else has done it the way you have.
Yeah. And I think as much as it's good to be reflective and understand your own personal journey, it is also to like have a factor of remembering that it was people around you that helped you get to that point.
Yeah.
So even though you made your own decisions and you eventually got there in the end, there were still people that was pushing for your success.
Definitely. I think influences around you are, especially for like young people like yourself, mm-hmm. are a big thing, because look, realistically, you spend more of your conscious hours with your friends. When you go home, you know, everyone's got their own lives. Even within family, everyone's got their own life. You know, parents are busy, you guys are busy doing whatever you're doing. And you know, it's very easy for that to happen. And so obviously, you know, school and teachers and friends do become a big, huge part of your life, because mm-hmm. you spend most of your conscious waking, you know, effort hours here.
With people.
So you look at your friends as a big part of your life. You look at your teachers as, you know, believe it or not, they are a big part of your life.
They are.
And I think the influences around you are a massive factor, because obviously, yes, the influences do make a difference as to how you go about things, but mm. also you choose who you choose. So you yeah. choose who's around you.
Yeah.
So
you choose what
it's
to feed
still,
yourself with.
Exactly, it's still your path. I always use the example, if you hung out with a bunch of millionaires all the time,
mm-hmm.
you would no doubtly get there, because everyone's having the same kind of conversations, everyone's in the same mindset, and you would obviously get dragged mm-hmm. along with that. Conversely, if you were, you know, hanging around with people not making the right decisions,
mm-hmm.
then it's only a matter of time before you will, you know, conform and join that, because
yeah.
it's, like you said, the influences around you are massive.
Yeah, being with people that are like-minded.
Yes.
And have like-minded goals.
Yeah, and striving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you don't even have to necessarily have the same goals, but as long as, you know, you're all moving forward to improve yourselves
mm-hmm.
or improve the next thing or improve society, definitely, 100%, it's,
I agree.
It's a big impact.
So what parts of people do you believe is important and deserves more recognition? So those like private parts of yourself that people don't see every day.
I mean, that's, you've picked the right kind of the industry to discuss this in, because I think teachers in general,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, and I read what you wrote, in terms of quiet contributions,
mm-hmm.
I think those are more impactful than the big contributions and the big gestures.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I was saying before about like, motivation and discipline. Like, there's a difference between motivation, like having the motivation to do something, and the discipline to get up every day and do it.
Mm.
And that's the same sort of thing with big contributions, but those small, quiet, consistent ones.
Mm.
Like, it has more of an impact. I'll take it back to math, and my apologies, I'm going to. If I say to you right now, double your money, sounds great, right? If I say 10% compound interest over, you know, every single month, you're probably looking at that and go, 10% compared to double? It's not really worth it.
Mm-mm.
However, 10% compounded, it's only a matter of time before it's going to be even better than double, for example. So
yeah.
it's those small moves. It's like we say to you guys, everything is seems like a really big goal. And if you try and attack this really big thing,
mm-hmm.
then it really will be overwhelming. It, at first, it's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. The motivation, yeah, I'm going to get up and do it. But
mm-hmm.
eventually, you're going to get tested. Eventually,
yeah.
it's going to become a case of, can I keep going? This is where motivation starts mattering and discipline really matters.
Mm-hmm.
Those small, consistent, quiet contributions, the making the choice to just not get involved in that conversation
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that people are messing around, or, you know, Chromebooks. Yeah, I can see a few people playing a game, whatever. I'm just going to carry on my Seneca.
Mm-hmm.
I had a period 5 science lesson. So that's the basis of that. So I think those really do. And teachers, and this is the one thing I really praise, and this school is really, really strong at this, the communication and those quiet contributions.
Yeah.
I'll give one example. So every teacher has a contract. Every teacher's job
mm-hmm.
contract will tell them to do a certain amount of things.
Okay.
I don't think there's one member of staff in this school who just does their job and doesn't go beyond that.
Mm.
And I would encourage you to go up to any member of staff at any week and say, Miss, can you, or sir, can you tell me one thing you've done this week that you didn't have to do, but you just did it? And I
yeah.
bet you everyone will give you an answer.
Give us one.
Okay, 100. Can I name drop? Yeah, okay, cool. Yesterday, Miss Lovell, I'm not going to name drop the student though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone in one of her classes or form, etc., had a bit of a rough lesson,
okay.
period 3 or period 4,
mm-hmm.
something happened, red card, wherever it was. And then I just happened to catch Miss in the staff room while we were making lunch, and she just took the minute to say, oh, sir, by the way, just to let you know that so-and-so had a bit of a rough lesson period 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, they've had a red card or whatever, they're going to come to your lesson, can you just keep an eye on them?
Mm-hmm.
Taking the time to say that, because not because she's being paid to, not because, oh, it's a matter of her
because
job,
she cares.
Because
mm-hmm.
she cares about that person. Fast forward, me knowing that, when the student came into class, I just made that little bit more of an effort just to make sure he was okay, just to make sure he was, you know, make sure he felt good about the lesson.
Mm.
Lo and behold, he performed so well, got a postcard at the end of the lesson, and left that lesson buzzing. If Miss Lovell hadn't taken that 30 seconds just to say, look, can you just keep an eye on him, just look after him for me, he's one of my form students or whatever it is, just a little thing like that, and that lesson could have gone left. He could have come into that lesson in a bad mood. I mean, lessons, bad moods, laughing at me, yeah? It happens, right?
It happens.
It does happen, but the staff will still kind of take the time. And again, that's one tiny contribution in, you know, 3 years of examples I could give you from the staff here.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Being intentional.
Yeah.
And I think that goes for teachers and students.
100%.
Being intentional with the way you live your life and to live your life the way you would want someone else to treat you. And even just like looking over the lives of people around you and the influence, again, what we were talking about. And just being able to understand that if I was this person, if I put myself in their shoes, no, you're not in their shoes, but you can still understand.
Empathy, yeah.
Yeah, so 100%. I think that's so important.
I think 100%, I think it's something that maybe both teachers and students could like definitely sort of like think about, because like I said, students have their own struggles. And, you know, sometimes there might be things that we're not aware of that you guys are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And we would never know. But that communication, that consistent, like, effort just to, you know, okay, I'm in a bad mood, but I'm not going to take out on Miss or Mrs. Esson or even for the teacher. Like, come on, do you know how many mornings that we wake up? And I'm sure there are plenty of staff that wake up and, oh, I'm not feeling good, I'm not in a good mood today. But we can either choose to be here and you know, encourage each other and support each other and make each other smile and laugh. Like when I go out through the Year 11 playground, like you guys are so great. I walk through the playground and it's like there'll be one student will come up to me, sir, this is about maths, or sir, I got this AFA, and you know, celebrating that success, and it's so nice. Even if it's just a little thing like, sir, I got this on my AFA, it means that you felt strongly enough about it to come over and tell me about it. And it's like that quiet little thing that, okay, clearly you're taking it seriously. And it's those small little building blocks that, you know, hopefully lead up to that success. It's, yeah, you can do the big things. I'm gonna overhaul my life, I'm gonna, you know, like do 7 hours of revision a day. Don't worry about that, just go home and do one thing, or just go home and make the effort to do one positive thing today. Yeah, and that's why I always, like, for my own sort of metric, as it were, like I'll sort of go home and I'll look at the day and I'll go, did I do something that was just that little bit extra? And you know, 99% of the time I can say yes. And like I said, a lot of the staff in the school I know for a fact will agree with me, like they go above and beyond, because what else is the teacher there for?
It's a part of the role.
It is a part of the role. 100%.
Yeah, and even just going back to, as you were saying, about going to lessons, having a bad mood, I think one of the things that throughout the season of my life that I've learned is it's important to let the people around you know what you're going through.
Yes.
Because, not that it makes an excuse, but it validates how you're feeling. It makes somebody else understand.
Problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah.
It really is true. And that's the one thing I have to admit, like, in terms of you guys in school, like, there is, you know, friendship groups are very close here.
Yeah.
Like, the ones that do exist, and, you know, the ones that are around that I do see, like, they are very, very close. Like, you guys in your circles are very, very close. Like, I speak to one person from my secondary school. And that's just because, you know, I knew him from primary, etc. But realistically, like, you probably won't speak to everyone all the time, but you guys are in pretty good friendship circles, I have to admit. You always seem to be having a laugh and a joke. Every time I see Year 11s, even when they shouldn't be, everyone is having
something's
a laugh and
funny.
A joke.
It's always funny.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't always be, but
well,
you know.
Okay, so I think to round off this episode, if you could redefine what it means to do well in life now, how would you describe it?
I think to live your life well. I think your own, if you're talking about like a metric for your own success, basically, I think it's literally down to what it is you want to not just do, because a lot of it is like, okay, I need to do this, I need to achieve this, but like being happy effectively is a completely personal thing. Like, I feel like I can say hand on heart, I'm in the best job industry in the world. When I leave at the end of the day, I'm happy because I know for a fact I have probably helped someone that wouldn't have had the help otherwise. Or I've done something in lesson that has supported a student and it's clicked to them. Or, you know, I've stayed at lunchtime and done a revision timetable with a student who otherwise probably feels disorganized. Even if they don't use the timetable, even if it doesn't even matter, it's just knowing that every day I've gone about helping someone and it's worked. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that's my own measure of success though. Like, for some teachers, it will be something different. For you, it will be something different. But it's your own measure of happiness. But that has to come from you. And I think at your age, it's quite difficult to quantify that and to kind of think sort of wide picture, big scheme, because you're told, okay, you need to achieve this. But genuinely just being happy of what you've achieved so far and what you've done that no one else has done. And every single one of you have got that. Every single individual in the school has achieved something in some way that no one else has. And it's knowing those things and looking at yourself. And, you know, this whole, does the Bible say be the best Christian?
No.
What does the Bible say? Be a good Christian, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's nothing about being the best. It's not as if, oh, God's going to look after you more if you're the best Christian. Like, you know, you pray the most. No, it's be a good person. It comes down to
being intentional with the way you live your life.
100%. Definitely. Yeah. It's just being, like I said, the small, consistent, quiet contributions that you're happy with. You know, okay, I've made the effort. I've made the right choice. I'm going to go home and be happy. My happiest is, you know, at the end of the week when I see everyone leaving, everyone's smiling, everyone's like, okay, had a good week. Obviously, weeks are pretty intense sometimes. Like, when you guys finish mocks, I saw you lot when you walked out. I've never seen smiles and happiness like that. But it is because it's you got through a really intense 2 weeks. Do you know what I mean? And for some people, that would have been difficult because they haven't revised enough. For some people, that would have been difficult because they have revised enough, but they're concerned about their grades. But every single person will have a different metric of success. It's not about being the best. It's about being the best version of
yourself. Agreed. And just to give you your flowers as well, I do think just seeing you across school, you definitely do make a big impact to students' lives. So just to give you your flowers, even in my life, you definitely have.
I appreciate that.
So, and also to my year 11s that just did mocks, I am very, 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 very proud.
Congratulations.
And to all the teachers who helped out and supported, thank you as well. And
being supportive of all the teachers doing the marking right now as well. Yeah, please.
Sorry, guys.
Everyone's putting in time, year 11, I can promise you that. The teachers are there for you. They're putting in that time for you guys.
Yeah. So I would like to thank you for joining us today and being a part of our podcast.
Do we have a final thought for the day?
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, sorry.
It's coming. Must be my intro.
Yeah, listen, if you set a standard, I thought I'm not going to leave this without a Renelle thought of the day.
A raised words?
Yes, please.
So I hope you enjoyed the conversation and that it can inspire and encourage everyone who listens.
Hope so.
And to sign off, my thought of the week is, you don't need to have everything figured out to be doing well. Sometimes doing well just means not giving up. Thank you.